I'm going to be in the book of John, if you will turn there, John chapter 5. And you know, the number 5 is a number of grace. And you'll find the recording here of the man at the pool of Bethesda. And I'm preaching tonight the message of the pool. And I'm going to read the first 4 verses. And I've dealt with this many times. I've looked at the man that was there by the pool of Bethesda. And but tonight I'm looking at the pool. And he said in verse number 1, he said, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had." I look at this as the first thing I take note of here is the feast. John doesn't tell us what feast this is. I don't know. I don't know what it is. John's writing is different than the other Gospels. John takes snapshots, if you will, of a particular instance or a particular event to relay the message of what he's trying to relay and get across at that particular time. The other Gospels pretty much put everything in sequential order of how it transpires, but John doesn't do that. John just takes a snapshot here and there of the life of Christ as he sees it. And I've said many a times, there's one gospel, there's 4 gospel writers. But John is telling us here that this is a feast. It's a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. There's some that say that this is possibly Pentecost. I disagree with that. Or a Purim, and some say this is probably Passover, but I believe most likely this is probably the Feast of Tabernacles, or you might know it as the Feast of Booths. You remember that was to celebrate. There were 7 holidays or 7 feasts that the children of Israel had to take note of, or they celebrated 7 feasts. 3 of them required the trip to Jerusalem, to the holy city, to be a part of that, to be a Jew. You was required to go at least 3 times a year into the holy city of Jerusalem to celebrate those feasts. And the reason why I believe that it's not Passover is Passover is mentioned. You'll find that John mentions Passover, and he mentions it in chapter 2. John also mentions Passover in chapter 6, and also he mentions again in chapter 13, the beginning of that chapter 13. And you Bible readers know that Jesus' ministry lasted for 3.5 years. So if he's mentioning Passover again here in chapter 5, that would be a total of 4 Passovers in 3.5 years. That's an impossibility and cannot happen. Would you agree with me? So I really believe probably that this was the Feast of the Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths, but really it doesn't matter which one it was. If it was, I believe the Bible would clarify that this was the particular feast. But what it does tell me is that Jesus he went there for a couple of reasons. Number 1, he came to fulfill the law. He did not come to do away with the law. You'll find out that Jesus kept the law. He went to the feast. He went to every required feast that was required of him as a Jew. He went there. And I believe that part of it was the second reason that he went there was this was a time and this was a place where there was a multitude that was gathered. He came there to spread the gospel, to show a lost and dying world that the Messiah has come. Now, he hadn't come as a sacrificial lamb to be sacrificed as of yet. There was some time of ministry. There was some time of walking and talking and teaching the disciples that he had to fulfill. But he came there because there was a message of the miracle. Now, Bethesda simply means the house of mercy or the house of compassion. We know that this is a place and a time of grace. We know that this was not something that was superstitious, that was made up. There was a troubling of the water that took place in the pool of Bethesda, and the first person that got in was made whole. This was not some fictionary story. This was not something that just, you know, it was a wise tale or a fable. But there was people that was there that seen it with their own. There was people that had had miracles performed whenever they stepped into the water. They was made well. Jesus shows up. There was a troubling of the water. Now, this pool was at the sheep market. At the sheep market, you'll find out that this was the gate, the first gate that Nehemiah restored in chapter number 3 of the book of Nehemiah. It was the gate that the sheep entered in through to be sacrificed in the temple. There was a fountain at the pool of Bethesda. The fountain was there for the cleansing and the dedication of the sheep before they entered the temple. It was a beautiful place. 5 porches with big arched entryways. But the fountain and the pool was outside of the temple. There was a multitude that was outside of the temple that needed help. People will go where they can get help. There was a reason why that the people congregated. The Bible said there was a multitude that was there of all kinds of people that was sick and was withered and was lame. They will go where they can get help. If I don't know about you, but if I hear that there's revival breaking out somewhere, and miracles are taking. I'm not too proud to what I won't pack up and I'll go visit. And I don't blame you if you do. If I hear that miracles are taking place and people are getting miraculously healed and God is moving, I'll go. We can look at the different diseases and the sickness. The first one in got healed. I've said this before and I'll say it again. It didn't matter what they had. They tell us that there was Scripture says there's all manner of impotent folk, blind, halt, and withered, waiting for the moving. If you've got it, He can heal it. My God has no limits. He can do anything. They was serious. They was willing to wait. I see the supernatural. Just look at the miracle. The angel came. God's in control. Why he used an angel, I don't know. God don't have to explain himself. But there was a troubling of the water by an angel. God sent an angel down and troubled the water. And whenever God troubled the water through an angel, the first person that got in was made whole. I don't understand why there was only the first person that got in. I don't know why the second and the third one and the fourth. I don't understand it all, but I don't have to. His ways are higher than ours. But the miracle took place. I see here that it was seasonal. There was a certain season. You know, we have winter, we have summer, spring, summer, fall, and then winter. Somebody tell that to God, when last month, December, we had 70 degree temperatures. Then we had 10 inches of snow. And now today, I'm thinking about planting a garden and going fishing. We're supposed to still be in winter. But there is a season that the waters was troubled. I would hate to think, Brother Robert, that I had been there for 38 years. And all of a sudden, they was playing the Super Bowl, and I decided to skip out on church, and God showed up. And I missed the miracle that God had for me. I missed the troubling of the water. There was a season. Now, I can promise you that not every message that I preach is going to tickle your ears. Some of the messages that God gives me, and God's timing is better than my timing, because I've got messages prepared that He hasn't let me preach yet. But some of the messages that they're going to tickle your toes. That's just the way it is. But I'd hate to think that the very service that God was prepared to do something for me, and I skipped out. It's seasonal. There was also a stirring. That's an act of God. That's why the angel was involved. Some things make no sense to me, but it doesn't have to make sense to me. I can preach a message, and I think, how in the world is anybody ever going to get anything out of that? And somebody will come up and say, that is exactly what I needed to hear. That's how God works. But I want you to look at the message of the pool. We see the multitude there. He's performed miracles at the pool before. But first, I want you to look at the message. They had a temple. They had a house of worship. They had a priest. They had worship service. They had a feast. But why did Jesus go to the pool instead of the temple? I've never seen this before. Why did he go to the pool instead of the temple? He was reaching people that would never go to the temple. They was not looking for a building. They was looking for the God of the building. Lord, help me. On the inside of the temple was formalism. Inside of the temples was rituals. Inside of the temple was a routine. There was no open vision. There was no word from God for over 400 years from the writings of Malachi to this time. God had not moved inside of the temple. Why? Because God was not in the temple. The message of the pool. If the people on the outside, now I want Sunday school teachers and leaders of the, I want y'all to listen to this. If the people on the outside don't want to come on the inside, it's our fault. I knew this wasn't going to be easy tonight. But if we got formalization and we've got routine and we've got and nothing's happening, there's no moving and no troubling of the water on the inside, I can't blame them for not wanting to come into to a beautiful church to worship whenever there's no worship going on. I can't blame, if God can't move in here, he'll move out there. I would rather have him move on the inside of the church at the house of prayer than I would have him to move at the pool. But if he has to move at the pool, God will move at the pool. One service, listen to me, it's seasonal. One service can change the direction of your life and the church life forever. Don't miss it. Think about the last time that you got a blessing or you got a healing. If you hadn't have been here, things would be different tonight. The last time the Holy Spirit dealt with your heart and your life and you come to an altar with conviction weighing heavy on your heart and you gave your heart and life to Christ, where would your life be at today if you had missed that opportunity? Sad to say, there's a lot of people that are missing out. Now that I've said that, I'm going to ask you, are you willing to wait no matter how long it takes? I see this man had been there for 38 years. I know the power of God. I know God's still moving. I know God is still working. But God, if it takes it, I'm willing to wait. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to come service after service after service, even though I haven't seen my miracle, even though my prayer has not been answered. I've seen what you've done for others, and what you've done for others, you can do for me. I may be getting weaker and weaker and as the days go by and the years tick on, but Lord, I'm willing to wait to get my prayer answered, to get my miracle. I'm willing to wait regardless of the time and the cost that it takes. My next question that I see from the message of the pool when the waters are troubled, are you willing to be the first one to step in? Whew. I
see people that they're waiting to see if somebody else will get up and move. They're waiting on somebody else to testify. They're waiting for somebody else to start the Jericho March. They're waiting for somebody else to lift their hands up before they don't want to be the only one. They don't want to be the one singled out in the crowd. But it may be dependent upon you to break the ice of the service and let the Spirit come into this place and make a move in the church. I want to be the first one when God lays it upon my heart to move. The reason why we don't see services like what we used to see services is because people are reluctant to step into the water.
I don't want him to have to work outside of the church. I'm not limiting God. God can do anything. Don't get me wrong. But if there ought to be a place that we see miracles take place, it should be in the house of God. We ought to have more power. We ought to have more dedication and devotion inside of the house of God than, you know, it's sad whenever I turn the television on and I see football stadiums packed out. People paying hundreds of dollars for tickets to sit in the snow to watch a team that they don't even like. And we've got empty pews in the house of God and begging people to come, and we can't get them to darken the church house door. Why? Because we have lost the power. When we start telling people, you know how come there was a multitude at the pool? Because of word of mouth. People got to telling other people about, hey, you know, there's a season happening down here at the pool of Bethesda. There's an angel. I don't know if they ever seen an angel or not, but the Bible says there was an angel. There's an angel that comes down seasonally, and I don't know when he's just going to come down and trouble the waters. And if you're the first one in, you'll be made whole. People begin to hear that, and the word began to spread, and there was a whole multitude of people gathered there. I don't believe that it was just Jews that was there. They couldn't partake of the feast. These were people that were sick. But Brother Virgil, they was hungry. Hungry for something from God. What would keep a man there for 38 years? It was the need. He needed something that only God could give him. We sell ourselves short so many times because we miss out when the waters are troubled. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many people has ever missed it? The Lord has dealt with you to stand up and testify. Some of you he's dealt with to stand up and speak in tongues. Some of you he's dealt with to give an interpretation of the tongues. Some of you he's dealt with to start a Jericho march. Some of you he's dealt with just to raise your hands and you've said all of them. Are you hearing me? When the water's troubled, it's time to get in. Are you willing to be the first? I've done my best tonight. I'm through preaching. Let's find us a place to pray. Let's seek the Lord a while tonight.